Good morning. Today's reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Thank you, Adai, for reading our verses for today, including, of course, our verse of the year, verse 24. How many of you have still got this little postcard pinned to your fridges? Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. My name's John. I'm part of the preaching team here at Shirley Baptist Church. And as I say that, I'm still a little bit shocked that that is the case. And really, the verses for today are very key to me, because the only reason that I'm here is because other people have spurred me on and encouraged me to speak. And others have also assured me that I can do that in the full assurance of Christ. So this morning, I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you. And if I do certain bold things this morning, I assure you that it's only through the assurance of Christ that I'm able to do that. So our verses this morning are taken from the book of Hebrews. Nobody knows quite who wrote the book of Hebrews, but we can be pretty confident who it was written to. It was written to the Jewish part of the congregation in the church, the Hebrew part of the congregation, possibly the church in Rome. And at that time, you know, between 70 and 100 AD, the church in Rome was being persecuted. So the Christians were being persecuted by Emperor Nero, physically persecuted. And the writer of Hebrews is writing to the Jewish congregation to urge them to not deny Christ, to not drift back to the synagogue and deny Christ because of this physical persecution. Now, we today in Shirley, in our church, we don't face physical persecution, but I do suggest to you that we face a psychological persecution in the secular world that we live in. So sometimes maybe we are also tempted to deny Christ in favor of that secular world. And the writer of Hebrews basically brings one powerful message throughout all the verses in that book, including the verses that we have today. And the message that he says over and over again is, Jesus is the goat. Jesus is the goat. Jesus is the goat. Now, when I say goat to you, some of you are probably thinking, well, I know there's some sheep in the New Testament and a lot of shepherds, but I don't think I've come across a goat. But when I talk about goats, I'm not talking about the agricultural goat. I'm talking about the goats, the modern slang word goat. Who can tell me what goat stands for in modern slang? The greatest of all time. So, some of us think that Lionel Messi is the greatest of all time. Some of us think that Cristiano Ronaldo is the greatest of all time. Some of you might think Elton John is the greatest of all time. Or maybe it's Bruce Springsteen. But we know, don't we? We know who is the greatest of all time. Who is the greatest of all time?
Jesus
Christ is the GOAT. Jesus Christ is the greatest of all time. That's all that the writer of Hebrews was wanting us to hear and understand. It's as simple as that. But he also wanted us to understand that if you've got the goat on your team, why would you want to play anywhere else? If you've got Lionel Messi on your team, why would you want to be part of anyone else's team? If you're in the band with Elton John, why would you want to be in anybody else's band? Because you've got the goat. You've got the greatest of all time. We have got the greatest of all time on our team. So why, when we are persecuted psychologically by the secular world, why would we want to deny Christ and drift away? In the same way as the writer of Hebrews was saying to those Jewish Christians, why would you want to desert Christ when Jesus Christ is the goat, is the greatest of all time? But we are tempted to do that, aren't we? We are tempted to think that other things might be greater than Christ, that other people might be greater than Christ. And the world we live in all the time is inviting us and seducing us into thinking that maybe Jesus wasn't the goat after all. Maybe somebody else is the goat. And I, myself, have been down that path. So my favorite music band of all time was a band called Joy Division. Put your hand up if you've heard of Joy Division. Great, we got some good 80s, indie 80s fans in the congregation this morning. So Joy Division, I thought Joy Division were the greatest of all time. And unfortunately, I never saw Joy Division play live because the lead singer of Joy Division, Ian Curtis, committed suicide when I was 16 in 1980. But the band decided to carry on. They renamed themselves New Order. And over the next 20 years or so, I saw New Order many, many times in many, many different countries. And the more I saw them, the more I was convinced that Joy Division, New Order were the greatest of all time. If we fast forward to 2015 was the 35th anniversary of the death of Ian Curtis, the lead singer of Joy Division. And the rest of the band decided that they were going to play all 48 Joy Division songs, one after another, in a disused church in Macclesfield, which was Ian Curtis's hometown. And I thought, wow, all 48 songs from the greatest of all time in a disused church in Macclesfield. And the tickets went on sale 9 o'clock on a Friday morning, as is the case with these concerts. And I was there trying to get two tickets. And these tickets were like Willy Wonka golden tickets for the chocolate factory. You know, I mean, these were priceless. And I was sat there 9 o'clock on a Friday morning, pressing the refresh button, as you do, desperately trying to get in the queue for the greatest of all time. And I was trying to get two tickets. Unfortunately, I only got one. So one of my friends who was going to come with me wasn't able to come, but I went on my own that evening to Macclesfield. I sat in this disused church on a pew, believe it or not, on a pew. Sat next to me was a guy who'd come all the way from Sydney, Australia. He was so convinced that Joy Division were the greatest of all time that he'd come from Australia just for that one evening. And we listened to song after song after song until we got to the encore. And the encore was Joy Division's most famous song. Anybody know what Joy Division's most famous song was? Love Will Tear Us Apart. They came on and played Love Will Tear Us Apart as the encore. And at that point, I find myself getting up out of the pew, walking down to the front into the mosh pit with all these 50-odd-year-old men and women jumping up and down in a feverish frenzy as they played, as the greatest of all time played the greatest song of all time. And you know what? In that moment, as I stood there in that feverish crowd, I looked up at the singer. And the lighting suddenly changed in the church. And what I saw in that moment was this picture. So behind the greatest of all time, I suddenly saw Jesus Christ. I suddenly saw Jesus Christ lit up in this church. And in that moment, I heard Jesus saying to me, "Who do you say I am?" O ye of little faith? Am I the greatest of all time? Or have I become the support act in a disused church to Joy Division? And it shocked me. It really humbled me that I had got so caught up in the world that I'd started to put somebody else and something else in front of Jesus. I'd forgotten that Jesus, and only Jesus, is the greatest of all time. So, that was the first message in our verses today, that we can act in confidence with the full assurance of Christ because we have got the goat on our team. So, I want to do a little experiment with you this morning to see whether we believe and whether we can act in the full assurance of Christ, knowing that he is the greatest of all time. Because what I've got with me this morning are two golden tickets. Two Willy Wonka golden tickets to the greatest of all time. And these tickets are to whoever your equivalent of Joy Division is. Who is the music artist that you think is the greatest of all time? I'm just going to come and ask a couple of people. If there were two tickets for anyone, the greatest of all time music artist, who would they be for?
Queen.
Queen. Two tickets for Queen. Lynn, I'm coming to you. Who would they be two tickets for?
Frank Turner.
Frank Turner. Who's Frank Turner?
He's the greatest of all time.
So we got Queen, we got Frank Turner. Margaret, who would you go for?
Shirley Bassey.
Shirley Bassey. Shirley Bassey, Frank Turner, and Queen. So these tickets, folks, are forever, whether it's Shirley Bassey, Frank Turner, or Queen, these are front row VIP tickets. Full hospitality, backstage pass. You don't have to queue, they're free. I'm putting them here on the stage, and whoever's first to come down can have them. And all you have to do is to deny Jesus Christ. All you have to do is to make these more important than the greatest of all time. Any takers? Oh dear, what a shame. Gonna have to tear them up. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Shirley Bassey. Get thee behind me, Frank Turner. Get thee behind me, Queen. Get thee behind me, Tom Brady, and your 7 Super Bowl titles. So, that's our first experiment this morning. And we've all held fast. We've all held fast. So, second stage of our experiment. Got some more tickets. Got 10 tickets here. 10 tickets here that if you think of our verses this morning that Uday shared with us, the verses said, therefore, my friends, since we have the confidence to enter into the sanctuary by the blood of Christ, through the way that he opened up to us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. Before Jesus, in the Old Testament, there was only ever one of these tickets to enter into the sanctuary, to enter into the holiest part of the temple. And the only person who got this ticket once a year was the high priest, because we weren't important enough to get these tickets. Only the high priest could do that once a year. But Jesus opened up a new way for us through the curtain. That means we are part of a royal priesthood. We have a great priest over the house of God, which means we can all have these tickets anytime we want, any day we want them. The tickets to come into the front row, VIP, full hospitality, backstage pass with Jesus Christ, to approach God, to draw near to God in the full assurance of faith. So I want to invite 10 bold people this morning to act in the full assurance of Christ and to draw near, to approach the sanctuary and take one of these tickets. So 10 tickets to draw near to God. Who would like to come and have one of these tickets this morning? Don, thank you for being bold and acting in the full assurance of Christ. Who else would like to join? No, just stay here for a moment, please. Jonathan, thank you for being bold and acting in the full assurance of Jesus Christ. Peter, thank you for being bold and acting in the full assurance of Christ. 7 left. Oh, here we go. There's a bit of a rush on now. Thank you for acting in the assurance of Christ. Amanda, Matt, thank you for acting in the assurance of Christ. Thank you for acting in the assurance of Christ. 3 left, folks. 3 VIP tickets. Oh, that's it. They've all gone. Thank you for acting in the full assurance of Christ. Thank you. Is that, how many have you got? 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. Oh, I've got one more. So, one more. Who wants to join us? Who wants to take the opportunity to act this morning in the full assurance of Christ? Oh, we got 2. Come on. No, come on. We'll pretend. We can't count. So, let me just ask some of our lucky ticket owners a question. Jonathan, what does it feel like to draw near to God this morning?
Wonderful. And it's always, because you don't actually need your physical ticket. Thank you, because Jesus has already done it.
Great. Peter, how did you feel the moment just before you got up to draw near to God?
Interesting. How did I feel?
Yeah, were you nervous? Was it easy? Did you have to be?
It was easy because it's something that you want to do. It's something that it's exciting. It's a privilege. Yeah.
So it wasn't a thing. You didn't have to force yourself. You didn't have to sort of battle with inner demons.
No, because it's something I know I've been able to do ever since I was 17.
Great. So, this is what it's like to act in the full assurance of Christ. But our verses today also included another message from the writer of Hebrews, that we can act in the full assurance of Christ because Jesus is the goat. But also, it was a message about encouragement. How do we encourage each other to love and good deeds? So what I want to ask our 10 people here, our 11 people here, I want you now to encourage others, to spur others on. I want you to spur, each of you, to spur 2 more people on to come and draw near to God this morning and join us at the front in the sanctuary, on the front row with the greatest of all time. I'm sending you out as sheep amongst wolves. Make believers of all men. 2 each, please. You could have 3 if you want, yeah. Have 3 if you want. A bit more spurring on, a bit more encouragement. Fantastic. So this is how it starts, isn't it? This is how it starts. It starts with 10, and 10 encourage more, 10 spur each other on, and then all of a sudden, we've got over 30 people at the front of the church. Now, I just want to come and talk to a couple of people who have been encouraged this morning. So let me come down here, excuse me. You have been encouraged this morning. What did it feel like to be encouraged? Hard. Was it hard?
This is hard.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Well, well done. Well done for coming up and joining us. Great to have you as part of the front row. Who else was encouraged? Yeah. So did you, when you saw, was it Amanda who encouraged you? When you saw Amanda approaching you, you thinking, no, no, go away, leave me alone.
A bit of that went through my mind, I'll probably say, but I was grateful in the end. It's very, very good.
You were grateful.
The front, yes.
You were grateful. So sometimes we can feel a bit of resistance, but then eventually we're grateful to be encouraged and grateful to be up at the front. So who else was Roy? You were encouraged. Yeah. What does it feel like to be encouraged and spurred on to come to the front?
What a privilege that Andrew came to me and chose me, but I don't feel any different standing here than I do sitting down there, because I'm as close to Jesus and God down there as I am up here.
Yes, great, great. And I hope that everybody who is still sat there feels just as close to God as these people here, because we're all together in the presence of God, all encouraging each other. And whether we do that through physical movement and just making that statement, or whether we're sat there praying, we've all got that opportunity, haven't we, to be encouraging to others. Mark, got to come to you, because you encouraged me this morning. This man sent me a text this morning, said, John, are you preaching this morning? And I said, yeah, are you thinking of coming? And you then sent me a bit of scripture, which really encouraged me. You sent me Joshua 9. 1:9. Can you remember what Joshua 1:9 is?
Yeah, be bold and courageous. The Lord your God is with you.
Be bold and courageous. The Lord your God is with you. So thank you for encouraging me this morning. Brilliant. So thank you, everyone. Let's get back into our seats. Thank you. So, I hope that this morning you've had a real life experience of people acting in the full assurance of Christ. And I hope you've had a real life experience of people encouraging each other and the impact that can make. So, I want you to take the memory of these experiences this morning and keep it close for the rest of the week. Because in this rest of the week, there might be a moment when you are tempted to think that someone or something else is the goat. And I want you in that moment to declare Christ. I don't mind you having a conversation about Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, but in the back of your mind, I want you to be saying to yourself, I know who is the real greatest of all time. And also, there will be an opportunity this week for you to encourage and spur each other on. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know who it will involve. But I hope that you can remember this morning and have that little bit more confidence to act in the assurance of Christ, to encourage others to love and good deeds. Let me close today with the final verse of our reading. The final verse talks about encouraging each other all the more as we see the day approaching. The big day is approaching. The day when this great gig called life will be over. But remember, these tickets, I told you these tickets, these are VIP tickets. What did I say was included in these tickets? Full hospitality. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. And I have prepared a place for you. I have prepared a table. I have prepared a great feast for you. What else did I say was included in this ticket?
Backstage.
A backstage pass. When the gig is over, and all the regular concert goers are filing out of the venue into the cold winter night, looking for unreliable taxis to take them to their Airbnbs, then Jesus will sweep you up and say, in a little while, they will no longer see me, but you will see me.
You're coming with me, beloved child. You're coming backstage. You'll get to meet me, the father, and the rest of the band. And we will have the greatest party of all time. Because I, Jesus Christ, am the one and only goat, greatest of all time. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. God bless you all. Amen.